It's episode 105 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we welcome back special guest Matt King to discuss Batman v. Superman, Litigation of Justice. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or search us out on Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. And the day is finally here.
Well, it...
It passed, but like now... It's back. it's back. We're here to discuss Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Welcome, Matt.
Do you bleed?
You didn't finish the line.
What? No, that's
you, it. You will.
I was waiting for your answer before we got into the...
Well, there was no answer. He just flew away.
Well, that's part of the problem with this movie.
He ain't got time to bleed.
I guess. So, yeah. So, on the crossover, Matt and I just gave our basic stuff about the movie. Nothing major. Because we knew we were going to have a in-depth discussion here on the Hodgepodge.
Going to rip it apart.
And that. So, yeah. So, spoilers. Spoiler alert. 100% spoiler alert from here on out. Batman, Superman. We saw it last Monday on a screener. And then we saw it again Thursday.
Yeah.
And then you and I saw it again on Sunday. So I've seen it three times.
Wow. Yeah. I've only seen it two times.
Batman v Superman, the biggest spoiler of all is that Jack McCoy is indeed in the movie. He shows up as a lawyer, as Jack McCoy.
In their litigation. I mean, the title sequence, it actually looks like the doors of a courtroom are opening up, and like, that's what it looked like when the actual title came up on the screen.
Matlock shows up at some point.
So Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, the most unwieldy title ever. It wasn't a terrible movie, I didn't think. There's a lot that I liked about it, but the problem is that they stuffed way too much into this movie. It was trying to do too many things and not succeeding in a lot of them. My three criteria were that it had to introduce the new Batman, introduce Wonder Woman, and set up the Justice League. It did all three of those things.
That's a really low bar considering you knew it was going to do those three things before the movie came out.
Yeah, they actually did that in the trailer.
Yeah.
Batman, Ben Affleck plays Batman. He did a good job. People can, I guess, cry about how he was depicted in the movie. But they basically were going for the Dark Knight Returns Batman to at least some degree. He's not as old as the Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, is how old they were actually going to try to play him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just playing his age. He's like early 40s.
Clearly, he's been at it a long time.
Yeah, 20 years. They say he's been at it for 20 years.
And, however, you're right. Whatever you want to say about the character that was written, Ben Affleck plays Batman fine.
Yeah.
He does a really good job of playing Batman, whether or not you agree with how the character was written is a different story.
Right. And we just read I saw it on Facebook earlier today. I think the Extended Universe, like their official page, put this out, that Affleck has indeed written a Batman screenplay. I'm sure he will be Batman in it. He's currently contracted only to do Justice League 1 and 2, apparently. But I'm sure he will be Batman in his own Batman movie. And whether he directs it or not, that's something else.
As long as Zack Snyder does not direct it, I'll be fine with it.
Well, I think in his script, Batman has to rescue some citizens, and he does that by concocting a story where he's making a movie, and then he goes to shoot the movie and saves everybody.
I see.
Right. It's Argo 2.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Argo 2.
Okay, great.
Argo Man.
That was...
Argo, fuck yourself.
Gal Gadot, which I found out from watching Jimmy Kimmel. That is how you pronounce her name. It is Gal Gadot.
How do you say that?
Gal Gadot plays Wonder Woman. She's not in the movie a whole lot. I liked what I saw of her when she was in it. Most of her time is in the final fight, but...
I mean, that's the only time she shows up as Wonder Woman.
As Wonder Woman. Yeah, yeah. But she shows up as Diana Prince in some other scenes, and she's good. She has some good interactions with Ben Affleck. I liked her a lot, so I'm looking forward to her movie. Comes out in June, I think? Next June?
Next year? I don't know for sure. Sometime next year.
It's definitely in the summer. I know that.
I think it is June.
Yeah, I think it is too. And then Henry Cavill, you know, he's Superman again from Man of Steel. I liked him a lot in Man of Steel. In this one, there was some weird stuff going on with him. I liked him for the most part, but as Matt pointed out, I guess after you saw it the first time, that Snyder might not be the guy to direct Henry Cavill because he doesn't show any emotion.
Yeah,
it's not just him though. It's
in general.
In general, I think it's the emotions in this movie are either non-existent or so muted. They don't fit the situations. I mean, the scene that comes to mind is the scene in the Capitol building.
Right.
When everybody around him dies. There's a huge explosion in the Capitol building, Washington D.C. And the camera focuses in on him. And he's just got this blank look on his face.
He's like, his lips are pursed, and he just kind of shakes his head a little bit.
What he's thinking is, fuck my life.
They're probably going to blame me for
my
this.
Problem with that scene is, why does he have blood and guts all over him?
That's a good point.
Right? He's just, he'd have ash and blood and guts all over him. But he's just clean as can be.
Hair perfectly fine.
Perfect.
The best is after that.
He'd be scraping off pieces of skull.
The best is after that when they show the protest or something like that. Somebody has a sign that says "Super Death." It's like, wait, what? What does that mean? It's like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. When you and I went and saw the movie first, I think probably clearly you liked it a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, my first thought when I walked out of that movie, which I think I vocalized to you, was this is going to be a very divisive movie.
Yeah.
And little did I know, it's not that divisive. It's almost unilaterally disliked.
Yeah. Yeah, the critics were not kind to this movie, not in the least. But at the same time, it's one of those instances where, you've got, Rotten Tomatoes, which is a pass-fail system. And I graded the movie as a C+. I feel accurate in that, C+. Maybe a C.
But it's not really a success.
It's not. But when you look at Rotten Tomatoes and you see a 30% on there, you're thinking it's oh my god, that's an F. Or people are it's really, really bad.
Maybe.
And I didn't get that from it. I mean,
I don't think anyone would say it was every aspect of it was complete horseshit. But I mean, I enjoyed the movie when I saw it the first time. And really picked it to shreds the second time, and I think I was clearly on a high of just wanting to see this action on screen, and I almost somehow disassociated it from being what it was, which is a Batman and Superman movie, and I just enjoyed the action of it, I guess, because when I look at it in terms of what it's supposed to be, which is the story of Batman and Superman, a lot of the characters don't really line up.
Right.
With how they should. About Batman, I still don't have a problem with Batman. I don't mind that he's killing people. I can stomach that because it can make sense in this world that he's become so jaded and disillusioned with the system and even his own brand of justice that he's kind of gone a little bit further.
Right.
He's almost just escalating a natural path from being a vigilante.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it also depends. I mean, in terms of that stuff, because a lot of people were talking about how the characterization was off a little bit. Not a lot. Not so much on Batman because, like I said, The Dark Knight Returns shows a much more violent Batman, but he's not. It's funny because in one panel, The Dark Knight Returns, he breaks a shotgun because he's that strong. He breaks a shotgun in half. And you're okay. And then he's we don't use guns. But it's earlier in the story when he had the 50 cal or whatever the hell he had when he took that guy's gun, when he shot the tank. In the comic book, it is very much implied that
he killed
the guy. He killed the guy who had the baby. And in the cartoon, I think, I think they did it differently. I think he did something else. He shot something else. Yeah. But in the comic book, it's very much implied that he just shot that motherfucker in the face.
Yeah. So
well, there is no implication in this movie.
No. It shows him straight up
killing people.
Yeah. For sure.
I had a problem with the characterization, but I had a problem with the characterization of a lot of people in this movie. I felt like the motivations were either non-existent or just totally ridiculous for a lot of these characters. I didn't like the direction they took with Batman, but I like Ben Affleck. I mean, I thought he did well with what he was given.
When you say direction, you mean
what? I mean, just the character of Batman in the movie, like what Snyder chose to do with Batman.
Right.
I didn't like really how we approached Superman either. You know, he defends it by saying, I wanted to make these characters grown up. You know, I wanted to modernize the characters, but I think if you change them that much, make a new character.
Are they even the same characters at all?
Yeah,
right?
It's
the thing is, I mean, the thing is, I can see with Superman and Man of Steel, I can see where he's coming from because he wanted to kind of divorce from Christopher Reeve Superman. But with Batman, it's like Batman, you just had three movies where Batman is pretty grown up. And the other thing is too, is that if you read the comic books, like anybody who went to this movie thinking he was going to be super friends, they're an idiot. But it's been long enough since Super Friends that people shouldn't have that in their mind anyway.
Well, I don't think people were going in with that.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I wanted to see the Wonder Twins, but I did not.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, when he says they're growing up the characters, if you read the comics, it's, you know, they're fairly grown up. I mean, you don't have like, it's not like the 50s anymore where it's like, hey, Superman, hey, Batman, you know, it's like, are we going to fight Batmite and Mr. Mixoplick? Yes, you know. So, I mean, like, I don't know what I can see where he was coming from in Man of Steel, at least, with Superman, to try and kind of divorce him from Christopher Reeve. But with Batman, to make him more, quote-unquote, grown up when you just had Christopher Nolan do the most serious take on Batman that's been done.
I mean,
done,
I think
you, know?
you even told me in the comics that, I think you said he used, like, rubber bullets.
He did in the Batmobile. Like, when he had the Batmobile, he shot up the mutant gang. He was fighting them. And then, like, when he was shooting them and stuff like that, but he was, like, rubber bullets, honest. Okay. You know, and he's like, you know, he's not killing anybody, technically. Of course, there's stuff blowing up and stuff like that. And if they so happen to die, well, that's, yeah. I can't really.
I was still okay with that. I at least fully understood Batman's motivation. Like, why he didn't want Superman around. Vice versa, the other motivation of Superman not wanting Batman around, I was a little more sketchy on because you'd think he'd see him more as, he's kind of doing what I'm doing a little bit there.
Well, because, I mean, the way they tried to play it is that, you know, because Batman's methods are so extreme that Superman was, like, not cool with that, I guess. But
extreme, like fighting Zod, destroying a city extreme?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of extreme?
Exactly.
Batman's not wiped two cities off the map.
Right.
The thing is, like, when I posted my review, I posted a link to a YouTube video, which was, it was the Batman, Superman animated in the 90s when they actually finally met for the first time. And it's real simple. It's like 2 minutes and it's done. And then you automatically get the dichotomy between the two of them. Batman comes into a club. He's beating the crap out of people. He wants information. Superman comes in. He goes, I think you've got your answer. And then
they have a dance off.
No, yeah. He grabs Superman, tosses him across the room. And then like Superman, you know, body checks him a little bit. And then like, you know, they have a discussion. They have a discussion.
It's a dance off.
Yeah.
And then Batman,
off, bro.
Batman flashes some kryptonite at him, and then Superman's like, ugh. So, I mean, you know, it's very definitive, you know, and then they figure out who each other are, and then that's when it really gets fun when they're sniping at each other when they're in their secret identities. But, so it's like, so that cartoon, you know, in 2 minutes summed up why they would have a problem with each other. Whereas in this, you know, like, I mean, like I said, like you said, you know, I can see where Batman has an issue with how crazy he's gotten. I can see why he has an issue with Superman, but, you know, Superman.
See, you're saying that like it's a given in the movie that Batman is crazy, and I don't think they established
that. I didn't say he's crazy. I'm not saying he's crazy. No. I'm saying I understand why he would perceive Superman as a threat that needs to be checked.
Yeah, no, that
I don't think
get,
he's crazy. But I never got that he was crazy. I never saw that.
But when I bring up the fact that, you know, he's like killing people, he's got, you know, he's machine gunning down, you know, criminals. you know, the argument is that he is unhinged, but I don't get that. And Jeremy Irons, like the Alfred, who Jeremy Irons plays very well.
Yeah,
he's a good Alfred. You know, he's pointing out in that speech, or he's sort of hinting, like, you know, this powerlessness that you feel in the face of this god basically will basically turn you cruel. He's trying to warn him a little bit. But there's cruel, and then there's shooting people. And
the problem with that statement is it presumes he hasn't already been doing that, which it looks like he has.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's where it gets confused. There's been this 2 years.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, there's been this 2 years that we don't really see what's happened.
No, they skip forward.
Yeah, we don't even know if Batman's been in operation.
Right. So it's
which is why I think one reviewer said something like, it's like, why didn't Superman know who this guy was beforehand? And it's like, it's probably because when Superman came back, then Batman went back into operation. Probably, maybe.
Could you be. We don't know.
Kind of like in The Dark Knight Rises, when Catwoman robs him, that's when he goes back to being Batman.
The only way I saw this movie really work in the way they set it out is if they don't skip ahead 18 months.
Yeah. They honestly, don't skip ahead 18 months. And then I feel that they actually could have just played this movie. Granted, I realize this was the setup for the Justice League and everything. But I feel like they could have just played this movie as the title, Batman versus Superman, because when they brought Lex Luthor into it, that's when the plot got really convoluted for me and it didn't make a whole lot of sense in some areas.
Yeah,
and if you had just if you just remove that aspect, don't go back the 18 months and just play it out from there, just between those two characters, you probably could have a solid movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they did this effectively, but you never want to have it be like it's just Batman and Superman fighting each other because, you know, they hate each other. It has to be the reason why is because Lex Luthor pit them against each other.
Well, that didn't have to be the reason why is what I'm saying.
Well,
the reason he didn't like Superman before Lex even got involved. He was already on a tear to get Superman before Lex Luthor. I mean, Lex Luthor, he just used a tool that Lex Luthor had found to help him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't need Lex Luthor for the motivation.
That's true.
Yeah, looking at the more I think about this movie, the more it bothers me. Just the story behind it. Because I feel like with Zack Snyder, he's so much more about the stylistic, like the way the movie looks and hitting certain notes. Like he wants to hit certain moments in the movie, but he doesn't pay enough attention to the story behind it. Which is what makes those moments, you know, that's what makes moments great, is when there's a story leading up to it, or there's a great characterization leading up to it.
What do you know about great characters?
Yeah, I don't know. I read books. But none of that happens with Snyder, because he's not concerned with story and characterization, I don't think.
So, it seemed that way. Kevin Smith basically said the same thing. He came out and said, you can't say the man doesn't have style and can't set up a shot. But he's missing a lot of the characterization in the story.
That's
pretty much exactly word for word what Smith had said.
Right. His biggest critique of it was that it had no heart.
Heart, right.
Which is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
When
those moments are unearned, which, we'll get to the ending of this movie later, but it lacks all emotional weight for me. Because it's just like, it feels like he's doing it just because he thinks it's cool, you know? It's like,
it's like he just has these shots in his head. These would be cool shots. Yeah. And to be fair, though, he didn't write the story.
Well, yes
he's
and no.
He tells the story, though. He's just, he's not a good storyteller, I don't think. Or at least he's gotten worse over the years. I don't know. Something happened. But, I've just seen it over his last few movies, and I'm kind of done.
I mean, it was a lot of the same problems in Man of Steel. I mean, they showed back up here.
And
it's weird, like he didn't learn anything from that movie.
Like, weirdly, the editing is just kind of crappy in this movie.
Weird editing, yeah.
And they had so much time to get this movie right.
I agree. There's a lot of weird editing going on in this movie. I hated the dream sequences.
Yeah.
They were, okay, so the dream sequences are dumb. The movie opens up with Batman's parents' death again. Like, no. We haven't seen that three or four more times prior to this movie.
Right.
We got the origin story of Batman. And literally the only reason they do that is so you pick up the mother's name and it hammers home to you, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no reason to set that up again. We've seen it. We've seen it before. We all know what happens. Then they have some crazy dream sequences. I'm not even talking about the main one, which is oddly edited into the movie, but just the side dream sequences, which...
Well, there's only the other two. There's which the beginning, the beginning two, is a correct. Dream, technically.
Which, right. And me and you both looked at each other at the beginning of that one, and we were like, whoo, good thing that was a dream, because we were about to completely check out of this movie within 2 minutes.
With the bats flying in back, I was like, "Oh my god!"
So, like, ascending.
We were both like, "Holy shit, this better not be true." But
this goes back to what Matt was talking about is that the only other reason why there's that other dream sequence when he goes to their goes to the mausoleum or whatever is because he wanted to get the shot of the bat coming out because that's from The Dark Knight Returns. That's it. That's in every single issue.
He wanted that
Returns.
Shot in there.
He wanted that giant bat in there. That you know, they put it also in Batman Forever. Remember Batman Forever, and it had the giant bat coming at him like this.
That's
from The Dark Knight Returns.
You can argue, like y'all were saying, that this shows how he's becoming unhinged because he can't sleep at night. Clearly, it's still unnecessary.
It's been 2 years, almost 2 years since the events that. Caused him to become unhinged.
Right.
Which is, again, my problem with the movie is that the 18 months the story only makes sense if those 18 months don't happen.
Right.
Like, for me to believe that somebody who is supposed to be as smart as Batman, who his lone advantage over everybody else is his intellect, that he would just let himself get into this state. Somebody else pointed out that Batman, his advantage is that he does not give in to emotion.
Right.
In this movie,
he does.
His everything,
everything is emotional.
Is driven by his emotional state.
I mean, the whole point of Batman is that, well, you can't say he fully got over his emotion. I mean, the reason he's doing what he's doing is to avenge his parents' death at some level, right? To that he is kind of driven by emotion, but he's kind of already overcome that becoming Batman has kind of allowed him to control the emotion. And so, to see him kind of out of control with it, you're a little out of character.
But the only way I can see him being, the only time I can really see him being completely out of control, maybe, and I don't even believe he would, but maybe, is right after the events of Metropolis and like...
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately, because that's when Superman's the threat.
Right.
Which is what
Alfred tries to tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, he's an idiot because he doesn't.
Well, it's like I said, the number one lesson of Batman Superman is always listen to Alfred. Yeah. So
I guess you're right because here's the thing: if he believes, which is what he says, that at any given moment Superman could destroy the world, and so if there's only a 1% probability of that, it must be taken as a definite and as an absolute. He says, but
so my thing is, kill the president.
My thing is,
he's a nuclear
in 18 months. Watching Superman do all the good that he's been doing, he wouldn't be like, oh, that guy might be all right.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to sit down with this guy.
Maybe a little talk with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's like when they get on, that's my favorite part, when they actually set up the fight scene.
Mm.
It's like, well, you know, if you would just allow Superman to get out one sentence, this whole thing might never take place if you could just let him get out one sentence.
And that's
all you need.
That's ultimately what the problem with the whole movie is because, you know, the setup of the Justice League, I thought that was fine. I thought how they set it up, and I like the nightmare sequence, but that's because
I know what it is.
But the ultimate problem with the movie is that it's all this one big buildup for one fight between Batman and Superman, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. If they were going to fight, they should have fought like in the beginning of the movie or in the middle of the movie, and then they work together. Oh, Lex Luthor did this to us. Oh, let's go get Lex Luthor.
Well, that's kind of my point. And what I was saying is that, unless that's the whole goal of the movie, it doesn't.
Right. I mean,
doesn't work right.
You can't, unless the movie's called Rocky, you can't do a 2.5-hour movie leading up to one big fight at the end, okay?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, it didn't. that premise doesn't sustain that story. It just doesn't. It's, you know, it's, it,
you know, to be fair, after they do that, they do have
Doomsday
to right. deal with. So.
Right. But
again, what is Lex's plan? This is the biggest problem with the movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it's convoluted. Now, unlike you, especially the first time around, I actually liked Lex Luthor's character.
Oh, yeah.
You hated it, I know.
I hated it.
And then, you know, after you explaining your points to me, I realized you're actually right. Like, he's not really Lex Luthor. Like, I appreciate the character that he played, but in actuality, especially taking that character forward into other movies, he's not really Lex Luthor, because Lex Luthor is a very savvy, smart guy. This is, they've just taken, like, he's this, like, a startup kind of guy. I mean, clearly he's got LexCorp that was just handed to him because his daddy. And then he's just, like, got this startup mentality of a 20-something-year-old kid who is just extremely eccentric.
Yeah. I didn't mind his eccentricity. It was a different adaptation. It was a different take on Lex Luthor. That was fine. But what Matt's point is that you don't know, like, does he want Batman to kill Superman? Does he want Superman to kill Batman? Does he want them to kill each other? Why create Doomsday? Like, none of it makes any, like, it does, one thing doesn't lead to another. It's like, you know, it's like he clearly wanted Batman to get the kryptonite. But, like my theory...
I think it's clear he wanted Batman to kill Superman. He says it several times in the movie.
My theory was that he wanted to... Based on the conversation he has with Batman at the very end of the movie, where he basically is not hinting...
If he can't kill God, then I will do it.
No. At the very end of the movie, when he's in the prison.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and he... I mean, he's not... subtly hinting at Darkseid. He's basically saying he's coming. Darkseid's coming, basically.
Well, you say that. Again, Darkseid's never mentioned in this movie.
That's true, but it's...
The general moviegoer has no fucking idea who Darkseid is.
That's true, yeah. But it's Darkseid. Yeah. So, it's Darkseid. So, you know, then I was thinking, well, maybe he was kind of like Loki in Avengers, where he was supposed to go and basically take the Avengers out so that would pave the way for this invasion. But again, that's just a
Y'all
theory
said
on my
was
part.
A scene or something that was edited out that specifically calls to someone.
But
related
again,
to
it's only if you know who that person
exactly,
is.
Exactly, right.
Which is fine. There are Easter eggs in every.
No. It's Steppenwolf. That's he's a character. Like, he's a character.
Like, who is he?
He's like a general
And look, that's fine. There are Easter eggs in all kinds of superhero movies that only the. But they're Easter eggs.
They're not plot points,
right?
You know? It's like the problem with this movie is, it's like so much is left to either be inferred or assume, you should. Yeah.
It
assumes knowledge.
It makes the viewer jump to a lot of huge assumptions,
right? That's a problem. He made this movie 100% for comic book fans, but you're alienating half your audience when you do that, because there's it's like I said, he and I knew what were going on, but you didn't know what was going
on at all because you read the comics. I had to look at you and be like, oh, what is that symbol?
Yeah.
Like,
the symbol is the Omega symbol, which is Darkseid's symbol. Right. And then the flying creatures are the parademons that are his vanguard, basically.
And then going back to that scene which is a dream sequence of sorts. You know, immediately following that scene is when we see the Flash.
Right.
For the first time. And that confused a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
From they don't know it was Flash.
Right.
To what the fuck was he saying.
Right.
So, yeah. I think it was pretty clear it was Flash. The problem is, again, unless you're a comic book fan, you don't understand that the Flash can run through time.
Right.
Yet. You don't know that yet.
Right.
We haven't even been introduced to Flash.
So I get that, you know, we're seeing what Batman sees because he doesn't know that either. But as from a viewer's perspective, that's the kind of thing we need to know ahead of time.
Exactly.
And then to try to explain it, which they kind of give Flash some dialogue to at least hint at an explanation, but they make the dialogue so muffled, you can't understand a word he's saying.
Right. The example I made was and this will make Matt very happy, is that the difference is in something like Avengers, you know, they have this movie and like, you know, there's somebody behind the scenes, but you don't know what's going on. I mean, but like Loki is your main guy. He's the guy who's pushing all the buttons. And then at the end, they show Thanos. And he turns, he smiles, and then that's it. And then people can go home and they can Google, oh, who was that guy in the event? Oh, okay, that. But you don't put a whole fucking scene in the middle of the fucking movie. Right. And then people don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
This wasn't a cut
scene.
And
now they're completely confused. Yeah, you don't confuse people at the end of the movie. They just go, well, who was that guy? Exactly. Well, I'll go find out.
Yeah.
Now, but if you're sitting in the movie and it happens, if Thanos showed up in the middle of the movie and nobody said who the fuck he was, then people would be like, what the fuck is going on in this movie?
The other problem is, and granted, you know this after the fact, but going into the scene, it really throws your mind for a loop when you don't, because you see him staring at his giant computer screen, and the next thing you know,
it goes black.
It's a dream. It doesn't go black.
It cuts to black, and then it cuts to the scene.
Directly to the scene where you didn't see him falling asleep. You didn't see him close to falling asleep.
He's a narcoleptic.
It just looks like it's the oddest edit in history. And you're like, what's going on here?
That's why Batman kills all those people. He's falling asleep behind the wheel.
And then all of a sudden you see giant mosquito creatures, you know, like flying at you. You're like, wait, what?
No. See, I didn't even know those were the parademons at first until that one came up right behind him and then punched him. And then his face had like the look of like the parademons. Like,
whatever that is. Again, you know what a parademon is because you know Darkseid. Yeah, you know that storyline.
But for everybody else, it's just suddenly Batman's in a desert. He's wearing a trench coat.
Superman has soldiers. Yeah.
And suddenly.
Yeah, he's like a general. Well, he's more than a general.
Batman's shooting people.
Yeah.
Which, okay, Batman doesn't really do that, but whatever. Okay, so he's out there with a machine gun mowing down everybody.
Right.
And then suddenly these fucking flying Geonosians come out of the sky.
Right.
You know? And you're like, what is going on?
See, the problem is, too, with the way they did the characters. It seems like Wonder Woman is the only one they got right. But, with the characters is that, as far as Batman goes, is that they could... It's not how people traditionally know Batman for the last, say, 25, 30 years. But they could make an argument for the stuff he does in this movie based on the past. Because he's been around for 75 years. Right. So there was stuff in the beginning of his history. They could say, oh, well, you know, this, and this. But if you're going to pull from The Dark Knight Returns, then make him like The Dark Knight Returns guy who doesn't shoot people and doesn't...
You know, the introduction of some of these other Justice League...
Superman, I can't help you on that.
The introduction of some of these other Justice Leaguers in here also took away from a little bit from the main plot and action.
It wasn't
the worst way they could have done it. No. But as someone pointed out to me, they could have just showed you the files with the logos on them, and that could have been enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your Aquaman logo, your Wonder Woman logo, and that would have been enough. You even could have then taken a stinger could have been that the files get opened up.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
But
I think if they did that though, they would have been really afraid of being completely accused of ripping off Marvel, basically.
They've never been accused of that before. Like that's ever, like that's ever stopped them before, right? Okay. But no, Like y'all mentioned, they're just trying to do so much in this one movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, because that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, they should have... Here's the problem. Is that... And it goes back to what Matt said about him taking moments. He loves The Dark Knight Returns. He loves that fight at the end of The Dark Knight Returns where Batman fights Superman. So he's like, I gotta get that in my movie. What he should have done was... He should have done something... You know, they could have a fight or something like that, like I said, in the middle of the movie. But... If you're going to call it Dawn of Justice, they should have started looking for the people for the Justice League already in this movie.
Right.
And it should have been like, you know, Batman being who Batman is should have said, you know, something should have happened, not just Superman. Something else should have happened. Maybe Lex Luthor unleashes Doomsday already or something like that in the beginning. And then Batman says, we need to find others like you so we can stop this.
Also,
and then
how,
they start to find.
I hated
Justice
how
League.
He created Doomsday. That was such a dumb.
Oh, ridiculous
device. That was a terrible device.
Yeah, that was just a shortcut.
It was a terrible shortcut.
The idea behind it was left off camera.
He did it. Yeah.
How did he know the recipe for making Doomsday? It's.
Right. Well, how did he know he could control Doomsday?
Yeah, he couldn't.
He would never have any idea. You know? So he's as far as he knows, he's just creating another version of what he wants to destroy already.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense.
And the worst part is that it's not his final plan. It's a backup in case Batman can't kill Superman.
Right. So what was he going to do if he had killed Superman?
Yeah, what if Batman had killed Superman?
Oh, nerds.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, nerds.
Sorry, I won't be needing you after all.
Yeah. Go fly into space.
Yeah. Yeah. Another plot point.
And Batman couldn't have stopped him from throwing that punch at Luthor.
Another plot point, albeit a smaller one, that I really just annoyed the shit out of me in this movie was, okay, Batman does not like Superman because he is a super strength alien who he's an unknown to him and it scares him, right? Enter Wonder Woman, who he finds out is also a superhuman something he doesn't know, just as unknown to him, even more unknown to him than Batman.
But immortal.
But he doesn't know that.
She's been around for 100
years. He's assuming, So what does he do when he gets these files that she wanted? Except send them straight to her and say, hey, here you go. I don't know anything about you, but I'm going to send you what you were looking for this whole time, just to ask who you are. I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not the way that works at all. She's literally the exact same as Superman to him. He doesn't know.
Well, not necessarily.
Not the exact same.
But she didn't knock down his building.
Fair
and kill
enough.
His friends.
But he's already shown that he's now fearful of people like this.
Right.
So why would he just all of a sudden trust her enough to give her this information?
The other problem, as far as Doomsday goes, it's like you said again. It's another assumption. You know, I took it as it was the same thing they've done in all the other fucking Superman movies. You know, he gets the ship to talk to him, and basically the ship just tells him everything. Just like Kevin Spacey got the crystals to tell him what to
that
do.
Was
just like
clearly,
Gene Hackman got them, you know.
That
so.
Was clearly the assumption. Again, one of those assumptions they want you to jump to because they give you the one line of, he's like, teach me.
Right.
So you assume the ship has told him a lot.
You don't see, all you see that is like, yeah, he's like,
although I do have to say this, worst ship ever to just start divulging information to anyone that walks in and has, I guess, Kryptonian fingerprints, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize those ships were fingerprint protected. Yeah. all we know, we just see him, and apparently Kryptonite, can cut through Kryptonians, like it's razors to them, I guess. But he's like razoring off their fingerprints, or Zod's fingerprints, I guess, because he knew that that's what was going to get him into the ship.
Because that's before he had seen the ship, isn't it?
Yeah,
he did that.
Or is it?
We don't know.
If you
had known that he had seen the ship before and studied it a little bit,
because that's
that
the problem.
Would have made a little
see,
more
that's,
sense.
That's
he,
the
he,
problem.
He figured out. That is a problem with Lex Luthor. They don't let you see how smart he is.
Well, it's not just
not,
just
not at all.
It's not just that. I felt they kind of did because of the stuff he did, but the problem is that is what you were talking about with the editing, because they did a lot of that in this movie where he's having one conversation with somebody, and then they're almost like they're flash forwarding to like him going to the ship when he was talking to that senator guy or whatever, and then, you know, he's like, what do you want? He goes, I want access to the ship. And then they flash forward to him going to the ship.
They jump from A to C.
Then they jump right back. And he's like, oh, what else do you want? Oh, I want Zod's body. And then they show him taking the fingerprints off. So like, you don't know the sequence of events there.
Yeah, that's true. They
you know, you don't know what, and the same thing with Batman later at the end of the movie when they're at the cemetery. And then, Wonder Woman says, how do you know that how do you know that we're going to have to fight? And he's like, just a feeling I have. It flashes back to when he went to Lex Luthor's.
Yeah, they did flash back. That was unnecessary.
So they tried to do it, and it's a way that they could compress the story and get it all in there, but it didn't
work.
Well,
that's also just that's also just a direction device. I mean, that's just a device that's used sometimes, and here it's used very poorly.
Yeah.
What about Batman though? Like, why is he having these visions?
The dream at the mausoleum was just a nightmare.
They're just
dreams.
They were just nightmares.
But no. But again, it's an assumption and a theory. Is that I think that they, the Flash was wearing some kind of suit or something like that.
No, that one I definitely think it wasn't just a dream.
They planted that in his head. No, that definitely wasn't a dream. Because how could he come up with all that shit? I think they planted that in his head.
Who's they?
The Flash. Because he had some kind of like exosuit.
Or the Justice League
like
sent the Flash back to do something.
But if the Flash has that ability, why not just tell him? Why show him some random like?
Well, he does say he's too early. He does say he's too early.
What?
The Flash. The Flash said he was too early.
He was supposed to get him at another point in
time,
I guess.
Yeah, so it didn't make sense. He was supposed to get, he was supposed to give that to him when it made sense. But he, again, a lot of assumptions, right?
Right.
So the assumption is that the Flash, you know, when you're traveling through time, when you're running through time, you can't get, you can't be exactly accurate. So the idea is that he got there too early. He gave him the information that he was supposed to give him, but he gave it to him too early in his life. Or in
oh
the sequence
God.
Of events.
I did not get that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he says I'm too soon, I'm too soon.
I'm too soon. He says
I couldn't hear what he was saying.
He basically is like, you were right about him. You fear him. Lois is the key. Find us. And he says, wait, I'm too soon. He says, am I too soon? He goes, I'm too soon. And then,
right.
And then he's gone. And then Bruce Wayne wakes up, quote unquote, wakes up again.
Yeah. So the idea, I agree with Doug. The idea is that he was giving him something, which was, in fact,
right.
that memory. He was giving it to him to aid in something, clearly Darkseid, something to do with Darkseid.
I had no idea that was a power of the Flash's that he could implant.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's the Flash's power. I think it had something to do with the suit he had on. Maybe it was some kind of like, I don't know, like a walking Cerebro or something like that.
I mean, heck, maybe Batman credited it to...
True, maybe.
To, in the future, to send the Flash back. But the thing is, the Flash is the only conduit who could actually get it to him in the past. The Flash is the only one who could travel through time to get it to him.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And again, it is an assumption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
We don't know. But he definitely had like some kind of weird suit on.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the Flash outfit.
He did. But even when the mask came back or the head thing of the suit retracted, it's very hard to tell that he's actually the Flash.
The first time I saw it, I didn't know until like 3 seconds in.
I knew it was the Flash. A, because you can see the red mask, but it's also because I know who Ezra Miller is.
You know. But looks wise, you could not tell it was the Flash.
Right.
So what you're saying is it should have been Grant Gustin.
Yes.
But like I mentioned earlier, that is really the most disputed scene in the movie for sure, because no one knows what the fuck it was.
It makes
no sense just going in cold.
Right.
There's no fucking idea you're gonna.
There's
know
so
what's
much
going
of
on.
That though in this movie.
Yeah, just... you're right.
No, yeah, there is. I mean, it, you know, they could have told the story way,
hey,
way
let's
better.
Talk Lois Lane.
Do you want to?
Amy Adams is okay. She's a fine actress.
Yeah.
But this is like the worst written Lois Lane ever. I hated her in Man of Steel, and I hate her even worse in this movie.
I didn't hate her in this movie. I like Lois.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hated her in this movie. I'm doubling down.
You didn't even like that you possibly got some Amy Adams tit.
I'm doubling down here. It was the worst. She's the worst cliche of a damsel in distress ever.
That was a little much.
Like 4 times she saved in this movie, which begs the question, how did she ever fucking survive without Superman?
Yeah.
She would have been dead so many times before Superman even came to the planet.
You know what? Because I remember, I think Matt, you said that when she was underwater banging on the thing, you know, how did he hear that? But you got to remember, even back in like, I know it's not connected, but even back in like Superman Returns, he flies up into orbit on Earth, and he's just listening, and he hears sirens. Goes, oh, I have to go there. It's like, so I was like, I'll give them. She's banging on the thing, and he hears her.
That's one of the smaller problems.
You know what they should have done? If you really want to delve into like, you know, Superman, you know, apocrypha and stuff like that, she should have had the Jimmy Olsen watch. Lois needs me.
She might as well have. I mean, because he showed up in the desert.
Yeah,
she's apparently a world away from him. Mm-hmm. And he must hear her.
That's why it took her so long to get there.
Yeah.
Well, again, and she's being set up there for the sole purpose that we find out later, of course, to draw Superman in.
Right.
But he doesn't know where she is. So how is that? How are you assuming that's going to work? And then, and then there's some kind of special bullets used.
This is why one of the reasons I hated the Lex Luthor. And again, his motivations and his actions made no sense. He's supposed to be this brilliant person. And his plan, I think, is to set Superman up there to make it look like Superman killed all these people.
With bullets.
With bullets. And not just with bullets.
Yeah.
Bullets that could only have been manufactured at LexCorp.
Right.
The only way around that,
but you know, he might as well put his fingerprints on all
right.
The guns.
The only way around that though is when what's his name, Lennox? It was it Harry Lennox?
Yeah.
When he's like, that's classified. You know, so it's, that'll never come out. That'll never come out that it's Lex Luthor.
Okay, so but why? So well, okay. Here's another
because
assumption.
They have all kinds of contracts.
Here's another assumption. Here's another assumption you can draw. Right? Again, huge assumption to fill in these plot holes. Right? It's not that Lex Luthor wanted people to think that Superman killed him with bullets. It's the fact that they were dead, and then he could spin the media
that they blame Superman. That's why they had that woman at the Congress hearings.
It was more of his affront to the media right. of how these people died because right. they couldn't figure out. Because
if he could do all that, he was going to cover up how they really died anyway. So it's like, so right. that woman there is to show that the people that were there, the villagers just assumed that Superman killed them.
It's irrelevant because it's a huge assumption you have to make.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
If he was really brilliant, which he's not in this movie, but if he was really brilliant, he would have flipped this around. He would have been trying to frame Batman, who would have been way easier to frame.
And then Superman would have found Batman. They would have had their fight.
That would have given Superman a real reason to go after Batman.
Right, exactly.
If
right.
he was really smart, he would have built his kryptonite suit.
That's what I thought was going to be in the movie. At Target, they had like a pack of figures. And then it's Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Aquaman for some reason. And then they had Lex Luthor in the green and purple suit. And I was like, man, is that going to be in the movie? You just fucking spoiled it for me. And I wish it was, because it should have been in there.
So I like the, and I know you said this from the comics, but I like that Batman was ingenuitive and made a kind of an aerosol version of the
kryptonite. Yeah, he did that in The Dark Knight Returns.
And then one of our other friends pointed out, though, that the problem is, once you use that once and Superman knows you had it, you're fucked because he's fast as shit. And you're not going to be able to get another one of those rounds off.
He got him twice.
You're done.
He got him twice.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have happened. But it would have never happened. He'd be like, oh, you got that shit? I better recalculate my thoughts.
Superman watches him load it again.
Also, if you're smart enough to and ingenuitive enough, inventive enough to do that, innovative enough, the best you can do with a solid piece of kryptonite is a spear. that's the best you can do.
You've been shooting people
the
whole
movie. You
create
all these weapons, but the best you can do with the kryptonite is make a giant spear. I was like, come on. Come on.
In the comic, they actually had, he only had one
piece of kryptonite.
He only had one, because he synthesized it. It wasn't even like real kryptonite. He synthesized it. And then what happened was he got Green Arrow. To shoot it as an arrow at Superman, and Superman caught it and then it explodes.
Well, sure, that works better.
Yeah, see, but see, the thing is, and Green Arrow like lost an arm because Superman like cut off his arm or something like that at some point. They got because Superman was like a government stooge at that point. It's like they left little breadcrumbs like, oh, I bet that was a cool story, but they don't really tell you what the real story was.
But you know what?
Kind of like what they did with the Robin costume. They
could have gone that route this time. Having Superman be kind of a government stooge, and that would have given another reason for Batman to want to go after.
They couldn't
Superman.
Technically do that because that would be in direct opposition to the end of
You're
Man
right.
of Steel
no,
when he said, "Don't spy on me."
Of course.
At least they kept that going.
Yeah. Let's talk about the worst decision I think in the entire movie of bad decisions: the death of Superman.
Yeah, right there. And you clearly have to argue if you know it's a movie with Doomsday. You should expect a death of Superman.
It's the same thing as Bane. If you're going to put Bane in it, you know Batman's going to have his back broken. So if Doomsday's in it,
but again,
Superman's going to die.
Bane came into the last movie of the trilogy.
Right.
So
we're not arguing that it was the right decision.
A terrible idea.
we're just saying that given that we knew Doomsday was going
to
be in it,
it shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone that it happened.
Right.
Well, I think it is a surprise that it happened because anybody who knows who Doomsday is looking at this going, Superman's only had one movie. They're not going to kill him.
Right.
You know, in a movie that's not even his sequel. I mean, it's like we know the Justice League is coming. We know that Superman is in the Justice League because they've already put out the Justice League. You know, it's like, here's who we have in the Justice League and Superman's right in front. You know, it's like, so, you know, the assumption going in was, all right, well, they're just going to use Doomsday as like somebody for the Justice League to kind of come together to fight in the end. You know, that works. No. He kills Superman just like he does in the comics, and it has no emotional weight whatsoever.
It really didn't. I said that the first time I saw it. I said, you know, that was...
Some people were crying.
That was a big... Yeah.
I could hear
that. That was
the
a
theater,
big problem with it. It was not emotional at all.
No, because the whole movie is about, like, how Superman can't be trusted, right? You know, it's like, the world doesn't really love him yet. You know, some people do, some people don't.
Well, I think they skew it more towards it's just a very specific faction that doesn't like him. I think the majority
Super
of
death.
People like, do. But that said, you're right. Zero emotion. And it's hard to get emotional about a character you know is immediately coming back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like, he'll skip a movie, he'll be back later. He will immediately be back in the next movie.
He was back at the end of this movie.
Right,
the whole reason why they killed him too is stupid, because like Zack Snyder's like, well, I wanted Batman to be the one who puts together the Justice League, blah, 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 blah. And if Superman's around, you can't do that. I'm like, yeah, you could. You just got to write the story that way.
Batman puts together the Justice League.
Now, that's it. And again, I'm with you. I don't agree with the early death here. But the way I see it, you can't have a Justice League with a Clark Kent. You can't have Superman having to spend all his time doing Justice League shit when he literally has a 12-hour job with the Daily Planet.
I'm guessing if something as big that happens that requires the Justice League, your attendance at work is going to be the least of your problems. I didn't even care that they killed off Clark in it at the end of this. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just sitting there thinking about how stupid it was that they killed Superman.
Yeah, you get rid of Clark, but that's right. You could get rid of Clark and still not affect Superman.
I mean, that they got rid of Clark, you know, fine, whatever. They could have said that he died in whatever fight they had at the end anyway. If they really want to get rid of Clark, they didn't have to kill Superman.
Though. Yeah.
It just stinks of him going for a moment again. Mm-hmm. I want that death of Superman.
Well, and you could tell the scene he was going for, because it was that one scene where Superman's dead, Lois is holding him, and then on either side, you know, the other companions are just standing there, like, looking all super, right? Super sad.
But, like, you know, in the comics when it happened, it was, and, you know, it was affecting because Superman had been around a long time. He'd been a hero, this icon for a long time in their comic book world. I mean, like, he's been around forever, and, you know, and he was, you know, this national treasure.
This is 2 years, and he's...
Yeah.
He's here and gone in 2 years.
Right.
But 2 years that we don't even see. You know? Right. And it's...
But I mean, I just mean in this universe. It's
and
not
we at
like
least know that not everybody loves him.
Right.
And then, you know, Batman has been insanely angry about this guy for whatever reason. You know, the entire movie.
Until
the word Martha is uttered.
Wait a minute, we got moms with the same name?
Hold on, did you say?
We're cool.
I'm sorry I did this to you. I'll put the spear down now. You know, it's... But then he says something like Batman says stuff like I failed him, and you know, it's like I don't buy that. He's not that emotional about Superman at the end of this movie. He can't be.
Right.
They've said literally like four sentences to each other
ever,
and he's acting all sad like, oh, I failed my friend.
He wasn't your friend. Yeah.
Well, he didn't say I failed my friend.
He talked to his mom.
That's the idea.
But the feeling was that you're supposed to be all emotional because it's like he. Because of him, his friend is dead. You're not friends. You barely met this dude.
Oh, see, I didn't see it like that. I didn't see it like that. That he was like
but the line was like,
I failed him in life. I think
I failed him in life. I won't fail him in death or something.
Right, because I think what he was going for is that, you know, it was kind of like Alfred was right. I should have worked with him instead of going after him and trying to kill him. I don't think it was like a friendship thing. I think it was more like
it's more altruistic.
That's just cutting to the chase.
It's a more altruistic way of saying, you know, I didn't learn my lesson fast enough.
Right? Exactly.
I failed myself.
Exactly.
And now, but yeah, it's
exactly.
Like, yeah.
That's what I took.
Okay.
From.
All right.
But when he says it to Martha Kent, I mean that's just cutting to the chase. You know, I'm a friend of your son's. You know, it's like, you know, that's just. Pfft.
I just tried to kill him 2 minutes ago, but I'm in front of your sons.
Let's talk about the real biggest problem here. It's fucking Superman, and that's the size ring he was going to give Lois? He could have broken into the Hope Diamond, put it on her finger, and that's the piece of shit he was going to give her?
He's on a reporter's salary.
Fuck that.
That's right, he's a reporter.
Fuck that.
Let's talk about the best part of this entire movie. Perry White. He was awesome.
He was the best. He was great.
Larry Fishburne was the best.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne was so good as Perry White. I loved him.
Dirty A, when we saw it the second time, Dirty A was just going on and on and on about this story that Clark Kent owed Perry White.
Every other sentence, I basically ran the movie like that was the main plot point of the movie. Is that this
tell sport, Perry to this, check his email.
This sports story, and I would look at Doug and be like, oh, God, we're never going to get that sports story now. And then, yeah, when someone would rush off, I'd be like, make sure you tell him to check his email. But, yeah, Perry White was great in this movie. He is a great Perry White.
He was, and we'll never see him again. And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest problem I had with the death of Superman was that it completely robs them of the prospect of a proper Man of Steel 2. Because now Clark Kent's dead. You know, he's not going to have his job at the Daily Planet. You know, it's not going to, there won't be a proper Superman movie after this. And that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, they could say, well, you already have like other ones and half of those are terrible. But, you know.
It's the same idea of us saying that this movie didn't need to open with the introduction of Batman versus, mm-hmm. or Batman's parents dying, because we've seen it 100 times, right?
Right.
But no, if you're rebooting Superman as they did, yeah, you should give him more a solo movie. But it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant now. We will not see that. Clark Kent is in fact dead. Clearly, they're not going to bring him back.
Or maybe they will.
Or will they?
He was lost at sea.
Well, it was his grave that shook.
No, yeah, well,
that's true.
That is the only body they found, so clearly that's the one that has to be dead. Fully. that was a problem I had.
Mark Fent. You look an awful lot like Clark Kent.
I'm not Clark Kent.
I'm Superman.
Yeah, one of the problems I initially had with the movie is, why would they find Clark Kent's body? Superman would be the definite body they'd find because he was standing there and the government was watching them as this happened. How did they possibly get out of there with Superman's body? But,
because I'm Batman.
It's whatever. It's whatever. It was, I don't know. The whole Doomsday thing fell flat with me a little bit. It's kind of a bad monster. It was cool, like, when you showed him regenerating the stuff. And,
right.
And when the nuke hit him and, you know, got more powerful. I mean, that was a
nuke.
The nuke.
Bullets aren't working. What do we do?
Yeah.
Our only recourse is to nuke him.
Right.
But again, he wanted that scene.
It's like one of our friends said, hey, you know, Wonder Woman is perfectly capable, as she's shown. Give her the kryptonite spike and let her go at him instead of the guy who can't wield kryptonite.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it wasn't the kryptonite that killed him.
No, but he read the script. He knew what was supposed to happen.
Right, right.
Because he told Lois, I love you. She's like, no, don't do it. Don't do what? Don't do what?
Yeah.
To your death?
Yeah. Why would you assume that's about to happen?
He should have been like, what?
I'm just going to fight. What are you talking about?
Why would you think I was going to die?
Why did you just assume that the strongest guy in the world is going to die?
No reason.
Also, going back to Lois, the stupid bitch, if you're going to get rid of a kryptonite spear, don't just like kick it into like a shadow pool of water. You know, like that's your way of getting rid of it. Maybe you want to, you know, do something with it later that you know you can get rid of it, as opposed to just, I'm going to kick it here where anyone can come and find it later.
But I like that as soon as Superman saves her again, so he lets her out, like, she's no longer entombed in the water.
Right.
She lets him go down to pick up the spear.
She can go back again.
She can go back and get it.
She had no problem getting the spear. She was just trapped.
She couldn't get back out. Now that's not a problem anymore. But you go get that spear, the one who could kill.
You know who should have gotten the spear? Batman, because he was doing fuck all in that fight.
Yeah. That was the other thing. I'd look at Doug and be like, at the fight, Batman's just sitting over there. I guess I'm going to let you guys take care of this. And he's like standing on over to the side.
He's just
like,
aiming his gun.
Nothing to do here. I'm good.
Seriously, Wonder Woman could have beaten Doomsday by herself.
So it seemed.
Yeah. I mean, she cut off his arm.
But it regenerated. It grew right back.
It did. But right. I mean, that's because she watched, you know. I would think the next time she cuts off a limb, she's not going to sit there and wait.
That's a mighty bold assumption you're making.
Well,
there, not true. Unlike all the other bold assumptions that we've had to make this movie workable.
All I'm saying is she was doing pretty well.
Yeah, she was. She was holding her own in the fight.
Superman
yeah.
did not need to sacrifice.
As she said, I've killed aliens before.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that that's what's important about that, which could come into play depending on where they go with this, you know, in the future, is that the one thing that can hurt Superman besides kryptonite is magic. And that's and Wonder Woman's, I'm sure her sword was some kind of magical sword or something like that.
We did see her lariat.
We did.
We did.
We did see the the golden lance.
No invisible jet, though.
No, that was horse shit.
That's not going to happen. So
ridiculous.
Now the,
unless
now,
we did see it.
Now,
Easter egg.
Here's where
that
I
was. That was funny when he did put that picture out early, and he's like, "Hey, here's a picture of the invisible jet." And it's just like a field.
Here's what I want to know. When she got him in the golden lariat, why did she not just ask Doomsday, "Hey, how do we kill you without us dying?" He'd have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
He'd have to tell the truth. Why didn't she just ask him?
Why didn't she just lash him and say, "Why are you so angry?" Well, my parents didn't love me.
I'm hungry. Someone give me some pudding pops.
I didn't ask
Batman,
to be born.
Batman, go get some pudding pops. And I'll take a shell of pudding pops and these firecrackers.
And some Krypton bullets.
So, this is something I hope they're not doing, but from all signs point to yes, according to this movie, is that a lot of people are wondering like where they're going to go with Justice League, because clearly they're not going to go in the direction of the fantastic 90s cartoon. But some people brought up the fact that, you know, a lot of this looks a lot like the video game Injustice: Gods Among Us, in which Superman, it's like a different dimension, basically, where Superman becomes a despot. And they have to fight him, and then it's, you know, it's all this stuff. So I'm just like, please don't make that the fucking DC universe,
bad.
Huh? Yeah,
that's where they think
right.
it's going. He'll come
yeah.
back
because Lois Lane, the Joker, kills Lois Lane, and then Superman fucking loses it, and then like he basically
don't let that happen.
He basically puts his hand through the Joker's chest and kills him.
Well, he did say that Lois was the key.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the pointer.
So it's like now maybe they're just using that a little bit as like. Maybe it's just a little bit like
starting
inspiration. But it's not going to be just like the video game, because the video game is just, I mean, it's a cool little concept as like an Elseworlds story in like the comic books or something like that.
If you're,
not if you're going to make it, these are the movies we're going to do.
Right. If what you're doing is you need to create a video game where heroes fight each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That story works.
Yeah.
For a Justice League movie.
No.
The problem is when you set up a Justice League in a quote unquote grounded superhero story like this. If y'all couldn't see, I was doing air quotes.
Right.
The problem is if you set up a Justice League in a grounded world like Zack Snyder has done, it's kind of unnecessary because Superman is the most powerful being possible. Why do you need any other Justice League member? Doesn't really make sense in that if you're trying to, you know, make it so the world so in tune with you know, superpowers, you only need the one guy, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been a problem with comics over the years. It's the same with Thor. I mean, they're just crazy overpowered.
I mean, that's how I felt about Avengers Age of Ultron. That's why
I agree, Matt. They should kill Thor. Get rid of him. Or her now. I agree. You heard it here first on the Hodgepodge. Matt wants to kill off Thor.
I'm going to replay this part. I don't think that's what I said.
He assumed and inferred that's what you meant.
Oh, you inferred it. Okay.
But that's what I said about Age of Ultron. Like, you know, Thor, like, you know, all these guys are fighting all these robots. And I'm like, why don't you say Thor just like, you know, do like a cyclone and just go,
or,
goodbye.
No, Vision. You have Vision.
Yeah, he's got an Infinity Stone in his fucking
face. In his head.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he can take care of things.
Well, that's why I'm looking at Civil War and I'm like, I know who wins.
Right, it's true. Like,
I know who wins. It's whoever has Vision on their side.
Right.
It's funny, at Target, they have a bunch of, they're not, I wouldn't say the Civil War toys, but they put out these packs of like the Marvel, like, you know, I think it's supposed to be Team Iron Man and Team Captain America. But when they do the figures, like there's like these 12-inch figures, they do them like the comic book. So like Falcon looks like he does in the comic, and Vision looks like, you know, it's like the primary colors instead of like the muted colors. And I'm like, no one, kids aren't gonna know what the hell those people are because they don't look like the movie.
Read the comics, yeah.
Yeah. So A plus for Batman v Superman.
Yeah, so it's a very flawed movie. I still found a way to have fun with it the first time around. Picked it apart the second time around. I don't know how you got through it the third time, to be honest with you.
It's funny because like the second time, I all the cracks began to show, and then at the third time, I was just like, just taking the good stuff.
You only pay attention to the moments.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because that's all he really paid attention to himself. So.
It's like going to see the Star Wars prequels multiple times. just let it wash over you. Just
fast forward. Speaking of which, that's a couple weeks, less than a couple weeks. Got Star Wars coming out on DVD, Blu-ray.
That's right.
Weeks away. It's next week.
Yeah. Oh, it's next week. No. The 14th, right?
No, it's the 15th.
5th? Is it the
5th? It's the
5th. Okay. Well, yeah, no. Next week.
It's the 5th. Yeah.
I thought it was the 15th.
1, 2, 3, 4. 5th.
1, 2, 3, 4.
5th.
It's the 5th. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Hey, let's talk about some. So, yeah, you've already seen it. But if you haven't, you're probably going to be disappointed by Batman v Superman.
Probably.
So here's Zack Snyder's problem. He managed to piss off everyone in different ways.
But see, not necessarily. I mean, I've seen a lot of people online. They're just like, I loved it. I thought it was great. That's true. Liked it.
There have been people.
It's making a buttload of money. I mean,
it just hit the 500 million.
It just
worldwide.
Crossed 500 worldwide, and by. Tomorrow, no, by the end of today, it'll be 200 in the States.
That was never a question of whether they would make money, right?
The question is how much money they're
going to make. And then they had some BS article about the problem may be, look at the drop off between the Friday and Sunday. It had a huge drop off. Okay, well, it's Easter weekend. So Sunday,
that was my argument. And then
all things equal, that doesn't count.
And then how do you explain? Oh, it just set the record for Tuesday of all time. You know, so it's like,
that doesn't count.
Tuesday's in March.
But that said, we all agree it is an extremely flawed movie that could have been done way better.
Yeah.
The fact that Snyder's already doing Justice League. Like,
they start filming in like 2 weeks.
They start filming on the 11th, I think.
Legion of Doom.
The one thing I will say about Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor. I can totally see him running the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, I can see that crazy motherfucker running the Legion
Gene
of
Hackman?
Doom.
Gene Hackman? No. Yeah. Kevin Spacey? Yeah. No. Jesse Eisenberg?
Gene Hackman was always bogged down by Otis. So, he always
Mr. Luthor! Mr. Luthor!
But, hey, let's talk about some fun Batman news. They just released not one, but a second trailer already for Lego Batman. Coming out in 2017. And that trailer is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't
know
why a second trailer came out a year early, but it's fucking hilarious.
That's one more thing we didn't talk about with the Batman Superman. That the fact, the trailers did give everything away. They didn't give away the plot, per se. They just gave away, because they didn't give away the context of what was going on, but they gave away every cool scene.
How could it?
Trailer today does that. I hate trailers today.
But I mean, it's like, but their argument was that when they did that second trailer that showed Doomsday, they're like, oh, no. They gave it all away. It's a dumb
deal. That's not new news. They do that all the time now, and it's so annoying.
But when your movie is somebody versus somebody, and you see in the trailer that they're working together.
Yeah, it's already a problem.
You know what happens.
Yeah, it's dumb. And it's, I don't know why they think they have to tool trailers that way to fill seats. They don't.
Yeah.
You didn't used to before. You don't have to now.
Look at Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
You don't have to do that at all. Anyway, that Lego Batman trailer I thought was very funny.
Yeah. When does that come out? Next year?
Next year. Yeah. Next summer.
Still, it's a year away.
Yeah, it's a year away than two trailers. But it's a little different because it's a Lego movie. So, it's like more virally for kids, I guess. I don't know.
Plus, there's no guarantee that stuff even makes it into the movie anyway. They could have done it.
They could have just had little. Yeah.
They could have done like an Anchorman thing where they film a bunch of. Yeah,
clearly,
they film
you could
jokes
easily,
for it.
You can easily do that with manipulate a movie like that because it's. Yeah. You're not filming it.
Right. So, I did like how when Batman takes off his costume and puts on his robe, he still keeps the mask on.
He's got the mask on with the robe.
With the robe on.
So good.
So stupid. But yeah, that's Will Arnett. He'll be in the Lego Batman movie.
And the big news, apparently Hans Zimmer will no longer be scoring superhero movies.
Yeah.
He has retired.
He's done. He's just like, after I just did three fucking, Batman movies with Chris Nolan, you know, and he goes, and I did, yeah, and Amazing Spider-Man 2. He goes, and I did Man of Steel. He goes, this is Batman Superman. He goes, this is that it. I am done.
And by the way, I hated the this is just me. For some reason, I hated the music that they gave Wonder Woman. It was. They tried to make it real Amazonian type of like tribe.
Oh, I thought it was alright. I thought it was good.
It annoyed me every time it came up.
I liked Lex Luthor's music.
Yeah,
it was very like quirky and stuff like that. You know, the thing I didn't like about the movie.
When he fed the guy the Jolly Rancher, I died.
Oh yeah, it's Cherry.
God, I hated him. No, well, he's sitting over there, you know, like the way you felt about Lois Lane.
You hated.
Lex Luthor.
It's fair.
So much.
And again, I agree with you. He's not Lex Luthor. He's not. And it's going to be hard to use that going forward, especially given that now they've pretty much made him totally insane.
Yeah. He's completely insane. Now.
I'm sorry, Doug. Sorry. You're going in the future news. I want to stay right here for a second.
I'm not going to future news.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Well, he was looking at the future to talk to you.
The Hans Zimmer shit.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
The only thing, the one thing I didn't like about it was was how operatic they made it. I didn't,
That was the Batman part, so, right?
It was throughout the movie.
That's kind of what they did with Wonder Woman. It was kind of like that.
Hmm.
Just with more, like, Tiffany Drone in there.
I don't remember any of those. Like, the only part of the score I remember is just the Batman, like the.
Nothing overly noticeable. It's not like a score that will stand out.
No.
No.
It was Zimmer and Junkie XL.
Right.
They combined on the score.
Yeah, Junkie XL, I think, did a lot of the Batman stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, Zimmer is done now. But yeah, that was my other problem with just these movies in general. Is that this is where they had an opportunity. DC had an opportunity to finally get right the mastermind villain, which is what we've missed all along in all these movies so far. They do crazy really well.
Mm-hmm.
They do henchmen great, but we have yet to get that mastermind villain. And that's who Lex Luthor should have been.
Can I tell you a little secret why they haven't done it yet? Because the writers aren't that smart.
Right.
That's why they can't write the mastermind villain because they don't know. Whereas the comic book writers, that's their bread and butter. So like they, you know,
that's what we're missing. That's what I clamor for is the mastermind villain.
Yeah. I forget where I read it. It's one of the articles about this 9 million articles that have come out about this movie over the past week.
Yeah,
is that DC is supposed to be known for their villains,
right?
And in the movie. Like so far in the Man of Steel, like the new DC universe, that's not been
straight all over the villains. Yeah.
Zod was not a very good villain.
In all honesty, I mean, the vast majority of great villains belong to Batman. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, Lex Luthor's a great villain.
No, Lex Luthor is good, but he's not
a great villain.
I still want to see Clayface.
Who doesn't? Maybe you've already seen him. You don't know.
Yeah, I know. He's
That's a good solid point. Solid point.
That's the Zack Snyder way right there. he made a cameo.
Yeah.
You know who else made a cameo in this movie? Jimmy Olsen.
Oh really? Yeah, I read something about that.
Yeah,
somewhere.
And he's like, but he won't be back.
Well,
A, you didn't call him Jimmy Olsen. And B, who gives a fuck? If nobody knew he was in the movie, nobody's gonna miss him in the next movie.
I read an article where it was like one perfect shot or something like that. It's that site that I think they have like the one shot from every movie that like it's like that's the perfect
defining shot.
Yeah. So they did an article and like the headline was, "Nobody cares that you didn't like Man of Star, you know, Batman versus Superman." Like nobody cares.
It just has the one photo.
No. It was like an essay, and they were just like, "You can rant all you want about it," and they're like, "Hey, we're not saying it's a great movie at all, but you know." People went to go see it. They paid for their tickets, and that's all Warner Brothers cares
that's
about.
True.
The only thing you could have done is stayed home. Well, and you know, didn't. Well, you went to go see it.
That's another Hollywood studio problem, right? They mm-hmm. don't. They refuse to look beyond themselves, right? Beyond the present mm-hmm. to the future that they're setting up, which is what at least Marvel started doing way better, right? Yeah. Setting up a future. But they
I think they mentioned that too. They were like, they did Iron Man, and then like the Iron Man was a hit, and they're like, okay, good, we'll do more Iron Man. Maybe not so much more Hulk.
Yeah, it's like DC. You go over here. DC's trying to play this invisible game of catch up with Marvel when they don't need to.
That was my worry going into this.
Yeah, thing. DC can start doing the individual movies just like Iron Man did. No one's going to give a fuck. Just do it right.
Well, that was part of my review of this movie afterwards, was that this was DC's Iron Man 2, but in terms of the quality of this movie and the problems that the movie had.
Right.
But the issue is they never had their Iron Man 1.
Right.
To keep people going to see what happens next. Because this was essentially just a vehicle to set up the Justice League.
And it seems odd that knowing... Again, I assume it's just because they don't see it, but it seems odd knowing all the movies that they've left behind that they could have made billions on.
The problem, ultimately, the problem is this, and this is what it all comes down to, is that Marvel, even though it's owned by Disney, Marvel is its own entity. All Marvel has is Marvel movies, so they're not gonna fuck it up. Warner Brothers, while DC is a huge part of what they do, Warner Brothers is just like, oh, that didn't work. Oh, it made a lot of money. All right, keep doing that. They don't care. Right. They don't have anybody that cares about the characters that much. So they don't. They're just like, just do what makes money. Yeah. That's all they care about. Whereas Marvel's more like because that's all they've got. Like if Marvel puts out like three duds in a row, that's the end of Marvel Studios. Right. Whereas if Warner Brothers puts out a few bad apples for DC, it's like, oh, well, let's just make another Harry Potter movie or something. You know, so Marvel doesn't have that. They don't have that luxury. They have to get it
Marvel.
Right.
Marvel is more autonomous in its structure,
right?
Disney, right?
Yeah, they control basically what they do.
Yeah,
it's just this is something you could see coming a mile away. After Avengers had what a billion and a half in ticket sales,
they want to hurry up and get.
You could see them like the dollar signs churning, like I want that, you know. And they no longer had Harry Potter, so they needed something to fill the void. And so you could just see them, you could see the wheels turning, going, we need this money. Avengers just made $1.5 billion. How do we do that? What's the fastest way to get to an ensemble movie?
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Yep. They took the shortest shortcut possible to get to an ensemble movie. And the movies leading up to it have suffered, I think.
Yes.
Man of Steel
was
better than Batman versus.
You Superman. Can't, but I mean, you can't throw Man of Steel in that because Man of Steel was already being made when Avengers was coming.
Yeah, but it's still the opening. It's like
right. But what I'm saying is that like
they didn't make Man of Steel necessarily
in response to Avengers. They were already making Man of Steel. So what I'm saying is that let's say Avengers hadn't come out in 2012. Let's say it came out a few years later. There might have been another DC movie in there, maybe another Man of Steel or something like that. You know, it's. I mean, you're right in what you're saying, but Man of Steel you kind of have to keep kind of like separate from that because. That was already being made.
Yeah.
That came out the year right after Avengers. It was 2013.
But again, that wasn't the problem with Man of Steel because it actually focused on Superman. Yeah. And, right. It didn't try to cram. Well, no, it did cram a lot in there, but it wasn't near as much as Batman versus Superman was trying to do.
The funny thing about it all is that David Goyer said,
Devil.
Back in the day, when I guess this is before they even did Batman Begins, because DC wanted to do, or Warner Brothers wanted to do a Batman versus Superman movie after the Batman Robin fiasco, and they wanted to try and relaunch Superman, and David Goyer is quoted as saying, that's like, you know, that's what you do when you're desperate or something like that, and then they ended up doing
that's what they did, this. Bum, 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 bum. That's the problem is that they reek of this desperation, but they're really not desperate. They're making themselves believe they're desperate.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
It's too bad that they don't have.
You saw what they did to Aquaman, damn it.
Yeah.
You'll see him in the next.
Where's
movie?
My blonde hair?
He was just trying to have a private moment in an abandoned ship.
Yeah.
And what happens? These camera crews come around.
James Cameron comes in there.
That wasn't even him shooting out of the ship. That was just his sperm.
Oh, God.
Just torpedoed it out.
Disgusting motherfucker. Shut up.
Caught me in a bad moment.
Stop sullying Aquaman.
They're sullying Aquaman. Giving him all raggedy looking, crazy long, greasy hair, dark greasy
he's
hair.
He's basically like a
It can't be greasy if he's in the ocean.
You tell that to DC.
He's basically a sea hobo.
A sea hobo.
Yeah, he is. He's like asleep inside, you know, in a warehouse.
I think I saw like a bindle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you. Okay.
He doesn't have a trident anymore. It's a bindle.
No, he had the trident. He stabbed
it's the on the bindle.
It's on the bindle shop. That'll do it.
Aquaman Blunder. Hashtag not my Aquaman.
He did something with his hair.
It looks like they're
it's not totally
mixing it.
Yeah, it's not totally
lighting
blonde.
Up a little bit. Yeah. But it looks like he has dreads in that.
He definitely has dreads.
But underwater, he's got this flowy, you know, he's I don't know. That scene was kind of funny to me.
We were talking about how they're going to do Aquaman. It's because
it looks like he's holding his breath underwater. You know,
I didn't think it looked as bad as you thought it looked.
Yeah, he's like,
no, I didn't think it looked as bad as you thought it was. He was just like this. Like, I mean, you know, he didn't have his
cheeks. He looked like a person being filled underwater. He didn't look like a guy who was living underwater.
And what I said they might do is they might do the Gungan City type thing from the Phantom Menace, where like they're like Atlantis is like bubbles basically, right. and they can actually film the shit.
There better be an Atlantis.
Oh yeah, there totally will be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, they better not make him some aberration of.
No. What I think they're gonna do is I think they're gonna make it that he's like the new outsider now. So like he's like because that's what they did with the New 52 in the comic books, like. The Justice League formed, and then Aquaman got involved after that because Aquaman was like the king of Atlantis, and he's like, "Why are you throwing all your trash in my city?"
So, do we think that you know, further down the road they're going to pull in more members?
Oh yeah. They said they were.
Okay. Yeah, they still have. To, well, they still haven't figured. They still haven't revealed. They still haven't revealed what they're going to do with Green Lantern, really,
because he's
or how he's going to show up in it.
Well, they were talking about having multiple Green Lanterns,
right?
In this, maybe the second. Justice League movie, like the Green Lantern Corps shows up, and there's both John Stewart and Hal Jordan.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing in the comics.
If they're gonna do all this, and if they eventually don't pull in Martian Manhunter, then they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah,
I'll say that right now.
You're unnaturally obsessed with Martian Manhunter. You like him?
He's great. He's great.
Again, he could have been in this movie.
He sure could have been. Yeah, that's right. We don't know.
No, we don't.
We don't know.
He might be the general.
Yeah, could be. Could be. He maybe Perry White.
Maybe.
Hello.
Maybe he's Lois Lane.
Oh,
let's get Amy Adams in the next one.
That's why she's the key. No, it's a fucking Martian Manhunter.
When I watched,
I was making out with you. Oh God!
When I watched Justice League, he was always like a very integral part of the Justice League.
He was awesome on that cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was because in the original Justice League, if I recall correctly, when they first formed the Justice League, it was really supposed to be like this team of like. The B-listers, like Batman and Superman, initially weren't in it.
That's right.
It was Green Lantern, Flash, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman.
He was almost like the leader.
In the cartoon, he was.
In the comic, like I said,
it was the quote unquote B-listers, you know. And then eventually Batman and Superman came into it.
But I do like him. I wish they'd use him.
They should.
They should. Yeah,
he's great.
I would much rather see him than Cyborg.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that Cyborg is the one that the general populace will absolutely know least about.
I'm telling you, the whole reason why Cyborg's in it is because of what they did in the New 52.
Oh, I know. That's why.
That's the whole reason why he's in it.
That doesn't make it any better.
Because that thing, I think they have confirmed that thing that basically built him is the mother box from Darkseid.
Yeah. And in that scene that they've already released, the deleted scene, when, what's his face?
Steppenwolf.
Which, again, even though
Well, they said it might not even be him. They said it might be some other guy, too.
We don't know who it is.
Exactly. There's two people
we see,
could be.
So, we didn't really describe it. The scene is, you see a bunch of soldiers running into the Kryptonian ship.
To arrest Lex Luthor.
And when they get there, Luthor is in a pool of blood. And standing in front of him is this demon-looking dude with horns coming out of the side of his face. And he's got three of those boxes.
Was it blood? I thought he was just in the Genesis Chamber.
He was in the Genesis Chamber, but it was all bloody around.
Was it
him.
Bloody? Yeah. Well, but that could have been the afterbirth from Baby Doomsday.
Yeah.
From a little placenta.
Yeah, a little placenta. You want to save that? I mean, this guy's got good stem cells.
Actually, that would be good for Luthor's skin,
right?
If he was like, yeah.
But anyway, so you've got this demon holding out these three boxes, and Luther's, like, kneeling in front of him.
Right.
And then this dude just dissolves and goes away.
But the boxes are left?
No. Oh, the boxes go with him. Okay. And then Luther turns around, and he sees all the guns trained on him.
Or the boxes kind of like...
And he says, oh, hi, guys.
Or the boxes kind of like, say, Michael. Maybe like the Infinity Stones?
No. They're like teleportation okay. things.
Why he has three of them there?
But, so Luther wasn't dead in that scene. It wasn't rewritten for him to be. Okay.
No, it was just like, that's when they were coming to get him, I think.
Okay. No, yeah. They were like SWAT. They were SWAT guys, and they were coming to...
and then someone said, oh, wait, this scene doesn't make sense, but left all the other scenes that didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's... Maybe would have hinted at why Luther was talking about some dude from the stars hearing that Superman's dead.
Yeah.
But why do you care? What's so special about Earth that somebody needs to clear Superman's path? I mean, all these things, we have no idea what's going on.
Yep.
This movie should have been called Just Guess. Make your best guess of what the
plan is. Dawn of Just Guess.
Yeah. Just guess what happens. We don't. Make up your own theory.
Choose your own adventure your own style. Adventure. Well, there it is. Batman versus Superman. It's a
letdown. It's a flawed classic.
It's a letdown.
disappointingly mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for Justice League.
Part 2.
So that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. We'd like to thank Matt for coming by again.
You're welcome, Matt.
Next episode...
I'm too early.
Not really sure what we're going to be talking about the next episode. Matt and I talked about Daredevil on the crossover, but we'd like to get Dirty A's take on it, so maybe we'll do Daredevil.
I liked it.
The end.
Okay. No need to do that episode.
But we can maybe do Daredevil. Well, I'm hoping that we're eventually going to see Midnight Special with Michael Shannon and
I'd like to see that one.
Jeff Nichols, directed by Jeff Nichols. So if that'll start playing around here, maybe we'll be able to go see it. But we'll see. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, folks. See ya.